Okay. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 is one of those high points in the study of the gospel according to Isaiah. Notice verse 1. We'll just look at verse 1 down through verse 11. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Now, where would a vile, wretched, guilty sinner find comfort? Our comfort's only in Christ. Christ is our comfort. You remember from our study in 1st or 2nd Corinthians, our God is called the God of all comfort. You remember that? The God of all comfort. He's the God of all grace. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Verse 2, speak ye comfortably to the heart of Jerusalem. That's my people. That's God's chosen. His chosen. Call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sin. Speak to the heart of God's people and cry unto her, preach unto her, tell her that the war is over. The battle is won. Thanks be to God who's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The warfare is over, is accomplished. The Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished all of our salvation. He didn't leave it for us to accomplish. He performed all things for us. And the accomplishment is this: her iniquity is pardoned. Pardoned. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Remember Psalm 32? Her iniquity is pardoned. God said, I'll pardon them whom I have reserved, my people. For she hath received. We didn't earn this. The wages of sin is death, right? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double, plenty for all her sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin. Double for all her sins. Our sins are against God. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Lord's hand, he's got big hands. He's got generous hands. He opens up his hands and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Now, verse 3, it seems like there is an abrupt change. But this is the word of the Lord, given just as he would have it for us to study. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. And this is talking about the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway. A highway for our God. A highway for our God. You remember, turn back to Isaiah 35. A highway shall be there. That highway is a way of grace, isn't it? Isaiah 35, look at verse 8. And highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. It's a freeway, it's a highway. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. The fool shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, no any ravenous beast shall go up upon thereon. It shall not be found, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. A highway of grace. Now the Lord Jesus Christ had the forerunner, John the Baptist, who came, and his message was, remember, behold the Lamb of God. The last Old Testament prophet said, there he is. There's the Lamb that was promised and prophesied. The Lamb was typified. There he is, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's come to put away our sin. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in a desert land, and that's where we live, in a desert land. Make straight the highway for our God. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the Lord our God. Every valley, and this is what the gospel does. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Now, this voice of the Lord, this message of the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, if we look at verse 4, if we consider every sinner that's been slain and put in the valley, he shall exalt. The way up, remember I've told you over the years, the way up is down. When he strips us, he lifts us by his grace. And every mountain, everybody that's high and lifted up with pride, those among God's elect, they'll be made low. He's nigh them of a broken heart. Save as such as be of a contrite spirit. And the crooked shall be made straight. And that's us by nature, crooked, crooked, wicked, guilty, vile, wretched. Keep on naming it. Describing this flesh shall be made straight, or in a straight place. We made straight with the eyes of faith, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. No more wandering to and fro, going about, carried about by every wind of doctrine, but our eyes are fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Made straight. He's a straight way. And the rough places, he knocks the rough edges off. He makes us new creatures in Christ, and the rough places shall be made plain. When the Lord convicts us of our sin and shows us that we are sinners and shows us that we need only the righteousness that he provides in the Lord Jesus Christ, he makes that plain to us. When he teaches us the gospel, he doesn't leave us in doubt, in darkness. He commands the light to shine, and we see the way is it's a plain way. It's a way of grace. And then when God saves a sinner, this is what happens. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. We studied, remember, Sunday, he's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. And that's what happens when God saves a sinner. Over here, don't turn, let me just read it to you. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. That's salvation. When God is pleased to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. This is Galatians 1, Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, 16. And immediately Paul said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. The way was made plain. Oh, Saul of Tarsus, he was lifted from the dunghill of sin. Here Saul of Tarsus was a man like a high mountain full of pride. Well, he was put in the dust, wasn't he? Lord, what will you have me to do? And the way of his crooked religion, Phariseeism, that was made straight. He became a sincere believer, resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that rough old self-righteous Saul of Tarsus, he was made to see the plain way of salvation in Christ. You see, the Lord done a work of grace for us, but he's also does a work of grace in us. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. That salvation, we see the glory of God, it shines in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid, Paul said, we're going to see this Sunday in our Bible study, God forbid we should glory save in the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Remember Moses asked the Lord, Lord, show me your glory. Remember what he said? I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. God's greatest glory, showing mercy, is my greatest need. And that comes by revelation. Salvation. What does it take? What does it take to reveal God? It takes God to reveal God. It takes God, the glory of the Lord. And that's what the gospel is all about. It's all about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the grand design of redemption. And all flesh shall see it together. That is, all of his elect, when they're lifted from the dunghill and made to be princes, kings and priests under our God, they shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord hath spoken it. Our object and goal in preaching is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation of God's elect, and to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Remember, he told Peter, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Well, feed my sheep. Peter, are you sure you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my lambs. Ask him a third time. And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. And that's what we try to do. We feed the sheep, sheep food. Sheep food. I remember the first time I sat down in the congregation there at 13th Street. And the dear brother was sitting in front of me. He said, turn to me. I was a total stranger to him. He said, what are you doing here tonight? And I said, I came here to hear the gospel. He said, oh, you came here to get some sheep food. I said, that's what I want, some sheep food, sheep food. And that dear man who was a stranger to me then, we became very good friends. The word of the Lord, our God, shall stand forever. Now, verse 6, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? Now, here's a threefold message of the gospel. Point number one, all flesh is grass. What shall we preach? Ruin, redeemed, and regeneration. All flesh is grass. And all the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass, grass. The grass withers, the flower fadeth. But what's the message we're to cry? All flesh is grass. Secondly, the word of our God shall stand forever. And thirdly, behold your God. You see that in the end of verse 9? O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into a high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Don't be afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. His work is before him, and he'll feed his flock. He is the good shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now, what is our message? What is the message of the gospel? Sinners are totally depraved. All flesh is grass. The word of our God, or the gospel of our God, shall stand forever. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And the third message is, behold your God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away our sin. Now let's look at those 3 points for just a moment. All flesh, you see it, verse 6? What shall I cry? What shall we preach? What is the message? All flesh, yours, mine, young, old, black, white, bond free, all flesh is grass. All flesh is sinful. And all the goodliness thereof is just like a fading flower of the field. Verse 7, the grass, it'll wither. The flower, it'll fade, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely, surely this is true. Surely this is true. God says it so. The people is grass. The people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fadeth. All flesh. You know what he's talking about here? Total depravity. Total guilt, total vile, wretched guilt. All flesh is sinful flesh. We have a sinful nature, a principle of sin. We are born that way, fallen, ruined, and spiritually dead. None righteous, no, not one. In Adam, all died. In Adam, all have sinned. That's the first lesson that God teaches us when he's pleased to exalt us in Christ and to humble us in Christ and to show us the way of salvation in Christ. He teaches us lesson number one, we are sinners. We are guilty, vile, and wretched. We've studied this over and over. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. In the flesh, no man can please God. By the deeds of the flesh, none shall be justified. Why? All flesh is grass. Now this must be preached in order to show us the necessity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This must be preached. The problem is our sin and guilt. We must preach this because without this, we have no understanding of what the problem is. Without understanding of our sin, you'll have no understanding of our need of salvation by Christ. If God is pleased to show us who we are, what we are, guilty sinners before God, that we've sinned against God and come short of the glory of God, when God is pleased to show us what we are, we cry out, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Salvation's for sinners. So that's our message. All flesh is grass. Grass. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he mentions something else there in verse 6. All the goodliness thereof, all your so-called righteousness thereof, is nothing but a fading, fading flower. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says, all of our righteousness is filthy rags in God's sight. We all do fade like a leaf. We all do fade. We fade away. We fade away like a leaf. We're all as an unclean thing. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do fade as a leaf. Our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Isaiah 64 verse 7 now says, there's none that calleth upon God, upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art the potter. We're all the work of thy hand. Your goodliness. People are so pious, aren't they? So self-righteous. All your so-called righteousness, God said, is nothing but filthy rags. Filthy rags. Away with it. A man in his best state, altogether vanity. Vanity of vanity. Now, here's the second point. So point number one, we're all sinners. We've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned against God. Here's the second point found in verse 8. But the word of our God, the word of our God shall stand forever. Now, when we talk about the word of the Lord, we have the written word, don't we? We have that in our hand, the written word of God. Concerning the written word, he said, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. His word is forever settled in heaven. Heaven, he sends out his word. We read this last week. Let me just remind you. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Thank God for his word, his written word. It's a sure testimony that we have. His written word. How the Lord hath preserved this book we call the Bible. Isn't that a miracle? That God's preserved that and put it right in our lap. What a precious treasure the Lord has given unto us. His infallible, unfailing word. All scripture is given of God. All scripture is God-breathed. His word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. His word is not only powerful, it's precious. He gives us exceeding great and precious promises. His word is not only powerful like a sword, two-edged sword, more powerful than a two-edged sword. Precious promises, and it is to be prized above the word of men, for it indeed is the word of God. It's the word of God. In preparation for our study, when we finish up with the book of Galatians, I've been looking at over here at 1 Thessalonians, and I've read this through a couple times in this one verse. Paul reminds them, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as a word of men, but as a word of truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So we read it as such. We believe it as such. The word of truth, the word of God, the word of God. Our God shall stand forever. And that's true of his written word, but it's also true of the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, I read it today, in Revelation 19. I've read that book through a couple times too. I'm thinking about doing another study through the Revelation. In Revelation 19, he's called the Word of God, capital W-O-R-D. Remember John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and that Word was God. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ shall stand forever, who stands and abides forever in his divine person as our eternal God. I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys. I have the keys, the ownership of hell and death. He abides forever in his divine office as his mediator, ever living to make intercession for us. Do you ever think about that when you pray unto God? It's not that we just pray. We're praying to a living person who ever lives to intercede for us, who hears our cry. The word of our God shall be forever. He abides forever as our intercessor, as our redeemer, as our mediator, as our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Right now, he stands and mediates for us. He intercedes for us right now. And we cry unto him, "Lord, have mercy on us. Help us." The Lord Jesus Christ, our God, shall stand forever. His word and his person, his office, he stands forever in his office as mediator, advocate, intercessor, prophet, priest, and king, who stands forever in his righteousness, in his sacrifice, putting away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. There's a man in glory with nail print in his hands. Think of it. The Lord Jesus Christ, a real man, exalted, glorified, but a man. He's our God and our Savior. Now, here's the third thing. Look at verse 9. "O Zion, that bringeth good tidings." Good tidings. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Zion here is usually the picture of a church. "O Zion, O Zion, that bringeth good tidings." That's our message. Good tidings. Good tidings. Good news. "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't come to call the righteous, sinners to repentance." That's good news to the guilty. That's good news to the miserable. Good tidings. "Get thee up into a high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. O Jerusalem, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings." Good tidings, good tidings, good news. "Lift up thy voice with strength." Lift it up. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. "With boldness, with strength, saying to the cities of Judah, behold your God." Behold your God. We are to preach the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with a strong voice. Do not whisper in a corner, "God is God." Talk about it in the back room, "God is sovereign." Proclaim it on the housetop. Remember, our Lord said, "That which I tell you in secret, tell that upon the housetop." Cry aloud that all may hear. Lift up thy voice. Cry aloud. Spare not. Blow the trumpet of the gospel with all the strength that we have, and cause the joyful sound to be heard far and near. Our Lord said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. We are to preach the gospel without fear, without reservation, knowing the Lord has commanded us to do so, knowing that the Lord will bless His word. Preach Christ. Christ and Him crucified. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. There was a young man years ago who was sent to a foreign mission field. I believe he was sent there from this country. And he wasn't in that country but just a short period of time. And he caught some disease and died. Well, when his parents retrieved some of his books, some of his writings, he had written somewhere in his Bible, no reserve, no retreat, and no regrets. No regrets. Preaching Christ without reservation, not retreating, not preaching with regrets, no regrets. We preach Christ and Him crucified, determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Look at verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. Remember Daniel chapter 4? No one can stay His hand or say unto Him, Lord God Almighty, what doest Thou? How strong is the hand of the Lord? None can stay His hand. He's an omnipotent, sovereign God. The Lord God will come with strong hand. And He did come. Strong hand. And His arm, His power shall rule for Him. That word there, arm, usually is a symbolic of God's power. The Lord will come with a strong hand and a strong arm. Strong power shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and He is the reward. Christ is our exceeding great reward, and His work, His work of redemption, His work of salvation is before Him. Remember, He said, I came to do the Father's will. I came to accomplish His work. And then I like verse 11 in closing. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. The Lord is a good shepherd. Remember Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in the green pastures. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He's a good shepherd who lays down His life for us. He's the chief shepherd who's coming again. And He's called the great shepherd of the sheep that came again from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And He shall feed His flock. He shall gather His lambs. All we like sheep have gone astray, right? Isaiah 53. He came to gather us, His lambs, His people, His sheep, with His arms. He gathers us up in His arms. He draws us to Himself with everlasting, everlasting power, everlasting salvation. Thy people shall be willing in the day of His power. He shall gather the land with His arms. He carries them. He carries them in His bosom. In His heart. The sheep, these lambs, are very precious to the shepherd. He laid down His life for them. He is the shepherd who gave His life to redeem us from our sin. He gathers us in His arms and carries us in His bosom and gently leads those that are tender. Gently lead those that are with young. He leads us. He gathers us. He carries us. He feeds us everything we need. Remember that verse over in Philippians chapter 4, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord.